Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is LNP 101, Legal Nurse Consultant Review of Medical Errors. I'm Pat Iyer, and in this edition of Iyer's Insights, I'll talk about a complex area of LNC practice, medical errors. Legal nurse consultants work within the high-stakes arena of medical malpractice errors litigation. We are often asked to screen medical malpractice cases for merit. Does the case meet the criteria for a winnable case for the plaintiff or for the defense? Other industries such as aviation, manufacturing, and energy develop safety interventions needed to reach a zero defect level. Healthcare has not been as successful. We have an incredibly complex system with multiple opportunities for error. I envision patient safety as resting above a safety net. The holes in the safety net range from small to wide. We had an expression in my legal nurse consulting business: it's a dangerous world. The Swiss cheese model is a way to view patient safety. In James Reason's model, the holes or the flaws in the healthcare system line up. An unfortunate patient gets injured by the flaws due to a series of errors that occur. Have you ever worked on a case involving several errors? If anyone along the chain of events had done something different, the patient would not have been injured. Those of us who work in the medical malpractice errors arena can think of cases where this unfortunate cascade of errors occurred. For example, I worked on a nursing malpractice case involving a man who received the wrong type of blood. Another patient and he had the same name. A mix-up of identity occurred. The admissions clerk, laboratory technician, unit secretary, hematologist, and several registered nurses were part of the chain. The nurses did not check the blood bag at the bedside with the patient's identification band, and he died as a result of receiving the incorrect blood type. You've heard this joke. A surgeon told a patient there was a 1 in 100 risk of a certain complication occurring in the operating room. The patient asked, "What number am I in your total of 100? How often are we hiding medical malpractice errors? I think nurses will agree that not all errors are reported. In fact, a fraction of them remain hidden. Before I started my business, I was in an administrative position in a hospital. I sat in a hospital pharmacy and therapeutics committee meeting while the director of nursing had to explain each of the 6 medication error incident reports that occurred that month in a 600-bed hospital. The physician leader said, "I want there to be 0 errors." After the meeting, I pulled the vice president of nursing aside and said, "We're not getting accurate reporting. Statistically, there should be a much larger number of incident reports." She disagreed. However, the nursing department disciplined nurses who made errors. The nursing department terminated a nurse who made 3 errors. Not surprisingly, nurses were reluctant to report errors. They functioned within a culture of fear. That culture of fear still exists, and it prevents staff from making a full disclosure after an error has occurred. Plaintiffs still come to attorneys to get answers about what occurred, and legal nurse consultants help to provide the answers when they screen medical malpractice cases. Before we continue, I want to share a resource with you that will give you the insight that you need to analyze medical errors in hospital cases. Dr. Michael Grossman is a nurse who has a PhD and a business as a consultant to healthcare. He sat down with me to discuss errors in hospitals. His audio program is called Medical Errors in Hospitals, Causes and Effects. Many legal nurse consultants have conversations every day about medical errors in the hospital, whether that relates to screening a medical malpractice case for merit, locating expert witnesses, creating chronologies, or other services. The more you understand about these errors, the more effectively you can help your clients. When you listen to this program, Medical Errors in Hospitals, Causes and Effects, you will understand trends that result in more medical errors in hospitals. Some of the reasons why the U.S. ranks low in healthcare quality outcomes. Inside information about the most commonly occurring medical errors in hospitals. Why many nurses are afraid to report errors, and what is being done in nursing to improve patient safety. You may order this program for only $9.97, and you'll receive the audio program and the transcript by ordering at http://lnc.tips/hospital-errors. That's all one word. That's http://lnc.tips/hospital-errors. And to reduce this price even further, use the code LISTENED to get 25% off the price. Let's return to the program. As an example of medical errors in hospital, injury during alcohol withdrawal may lead to a medical malpractice case. An attorney may ask you to consult on a case involving a patient who was injured during delirium tremens. She asks you, is there alcohol withdrawal liability? You know as a nurse that patients may be injured when going through alcohol withdrawal, but it's actually quite significant. Delirium tremens is the most severe form of alcohol withdrawal. It occurs 3 to 10 days after the last drink. It is fatal in 5 to 15% of the cases. Complications include vomiting, inhaling vomit into the lungs, cardiac arrhythmias, respiratory depression, respiratory arrest and the need for intubation, and oversedation. Respiratory depression and oversedation are the most common causes of death. Delirium tremens is associated with a period of heavy drinking, especially if the person was not eating a sufficient amount. But it may also occur when a person is a steady daily drinker. I used to dread taking care of patients in delirium tremens. They were so difficult to keep in control and to communicate with. The medical record may describe these observations about this type of patient. The patient has a rapid heart rate, is sweating, is confused, is hallucinating, has nausea, tremors, anxiety, agitation, seizures, fever, and high blood pressure. Malpractice suits may be filed against physicians because of these alcohol withdrawal liability issues. Failing to diagnose alcohol withdrawal. Failing to order adequate doses of benzodiazepines. Commonly used drugs are Valium and Librium. The doses may need to be quite large, such as Librium 50 milligrams. Alcohol withdrawal may be easily treated with benzodiazepines on a proactive basis. The medication is given around the clock to ease the patient through the worst of the withdrawal process. The physician may have a failure to rule out other causes of altered mental status in patients with suspected withdrawal from alcohol. Assuming that a seizure is due to withdrawal without ruling out other causes of seizures. Giving alcohol to an alcoholic in DTs. Alcohol does not prevent seizures or DTs. Or failing to admit a patient to the hospital who is in DTs. Malpractice suits have been filed against nurses for the injuries that occurred during DTs. Patients who survive the withdrawal process may be injured, or they may injure others, such as the staff, trying to take care of them. I have a relative who is an alcoholic. If he were to go even a day without being able to drink, he would be in bad shape. His anxiety would increase, and he'd be headed to a liquor store. If he went to a hospital and did not tell his healthcare providers he was an alcoholic, he would begin to go through withdrawal within 24 to 72 hours after a hospital admission. Some patients are not honest with their healthcare providers about how much they drink. They may say, "I drink socially." Social drinking means different things to different people. I once taught a class on documentation to physicians. I asked them to write on a piece of paper their definition of social drinking. I collected the responses and I read them out loud to the group. The variation in responses was amazing. The one I remember best was the physician who wrote, "A social drinker is someone who drinks as much as I do." Nurses are expected to maintain a quiet, calm environment, offering support and protecting the patient from falls and injuries. Patients going through DTs require one-on-one monitoring to prevent alcohol withdrawal injury. They can be wildly out of control and impossible to reason with. Nurses are responsible for preventing aspiration by placing the patient on his left side or noting the need for intubation. Once the acute phase is over, patients should be approached and offered counseling and support to help them deal with their disease and live without reliance on alcohol. Several centers specialize in helping a patient detoxify from alcohol. Dealing with delirium tremens is high risk for both the patient and the healthcare provider. There are many ways for alcohol withdrawal liability to occur. Alcohol withdrawal is one of the many clinical conditions that contains a risk of injury. You provide a valuable role to help attorneys sort through the liability issues. Be sure to check out Medical Errors in Hospitals, Causes and Effects. Use the link http://lnc.tips/hospital-errors and obtain the program and transcript for $9.97. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. I will be back soon with another program. Thanks for being a part of this program. Check out our online training and books at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Expand your LNC skills with our resources. Also, explore coaching with me at LNCAcademy.com to get more clients, make more money, and avoid expensive mistakes. And finally, join our continuing education program and get monthly trainings at LNCCEU.com. You'll get 2 online trainings each month designed to deepen your knowledge and skills. And look forward to having you tune into our programs again next week.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.